the first epistle of Paul, the Thessalonians, chapter 1. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, our deliverer, out of the wrath to come. Chapter 2. Verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Chapter 3. Verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all his saints. Chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by a word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And lastly, in the 5th chapter, part of the Apostle Paul's prayer, verse 23. Very God of peace, sanctify you fully. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless these very precious portions of his word coming to the end of this afternoon session. In this lovely epistle, we have the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ brought before us not just for a waiting, but it might have an effect upon our lives even now. I understand that prophecy is of little use unless it has a practical effect upon my life and my service for God. Being a mere theorist is absolutely useless as far as doing something for God is concerned. I verily believe that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is very, very near. Not going into this various things, but here we find that there are 5 mentions of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in relationship with what we have been reading and listening to, things that have been occupying our attention in these past days, I do honestly believe that one of the things that should characterize us is that we should be ready for the Lord's coming. I notice here on the text below that there are at least two verses mentioned in the last chapter, and it's the assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. You know here in this lovely chapter, chapter 4, that we have here the rapture, the catching away of the Lord's people to meet the Savior in the air. And we know that there are those here this afternoon, and this is something that they are looking forward to, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to point out then that there are certain things that it should have an effect in my life. In chapter 1, I read about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the deliverer out of the wrath to come, or pony bear the wrath to go. We are preaching the gospel, and rightly so. One of the things that we seek to do is to warn the sinner, because there is wrath beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke, and then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. But when we look at these believers, we find that they were young believers. One of the things you find that characterized them was they were waiting for his son from heaven. But while they were waiting, you find that there was something else that they were doing. They were witnessing for the Lord Jesus. The message was going out. You see, they, in waiting for the Lord Jesus, they turned and they looked from where God had brought them out of. You know, with a young man going out on a ship to Africa, not long sailed, I was in close proximity with all sorts of people. And I believe for the first time, God in his mercy and grace showed me what he had delivered me from. Now, if I'm waiting for the Lord to deliver me, shouldn't it bring before my heart how I should be associated, or my attitude, you may call it, to the world around? I believe that what we have here is while we're waiting for the Lord Jesus, this should make me evaluate the scene in which I live. We were hearing this morning about friendship with the world. I don't think that we should go around and make ourselves conspicuous by being awkward in this world. The Word of God tells us, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If we, the people of God, with a longing desire in our souls, and waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and seeking to heed the voice of those that would encourage us to hold the fort, or to preserve the assemblies in which we live, or to count the Lord Jesus Christ not only as a thing, but everything in my life. And I am waiting for him to deliver me out of this world. Would this not be my attitude? Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. Wouldn't it show in my life and my attitude that if I was really waiting for that moment, that the world would mean nothing to me? These things that we thank God, there are verses that say that we can use the world but not abuse it. But the world to me would be a finished place. It would be a place that would lead me to the next chapter. It would be a place where there should be activity in the gospel. The Apostle Paul looked forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he says in chapter 2. He says, for what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? He's looking forward here
to the praise. He says, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus at His coming? What should that do to me? Hey, when I turn and put a value upon this word, and the value is absolutely zero. The things that are seen are temporal. And it's sad to say that sometimes God must bring us down in the valley perhaps of grief and mourning to see that a house is only four walls. And things that many went to make a home is absolutely nothing. The world should be nothing to me. The things that go to make up the word. But my dear friend, this is what it should do to me. If while I'm waiting for the Lord Jesus, and I believe we're waiting for Him, it would make me hold the things of time and sense very, very lightly. If I had things of the world to use them, but not abuse them, to put a value upon it, it's worth nothing. The things that are seen, or the things that we possess, these things are all going to pass away. I came into the world, you came into the world. Paul says you brought nothing in, and you'll take nothing out. How much will you and I leave when we leave this scene of time? If the Lord was to take us in death, how much would we leave? We would leave everything. We would take nothing with us. Brethren, here we have my attitude, my assessment of this world. It's only a place where I should seek to serve the Lord, whether it's in school or whether it's in work. And I don't believe there's any of our brethren, and there's no worker worth the name of a worker, who has not spoken for the Lord or witness for the Lord in the place of his employment. This was something that was very, very easy, to leave our daily work and to go out full time in the Lord's work. It seemed that the only difference was that we didn't get a check at the end of the month from the company. We should be active in the things of the Lord. And so if I look at the world that I'm waiting to be delivered from, what am I going to do about those who are still in the Word? I speak this afternoon. I speak to young men. And I ask you, what are you doing about the great need that's out there? Not over there or down there. But there are needs. We have got brethren here home from the mission. And you find that there's still a teeming millions. There are those that need to hear the gospel of the grace of God. What, when the Lord comes, what are you going to say? The Apostle Paul looked out there, and this is what he looked for. He looked, this was his great hope. This was his joy. This was his praise. He says, are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming. It should make me go to every endeavor to seek to win precious souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. I'll give you a moment to answer. And then I hope that what I say will either be a rebuke or an encouragement to you. I want to ask you honestly, if you had a piece of paper there before you, what is your business? What is your business? Did you say my business is the gospel business? But if you didn't, shame on you. Shame on you. If the gospel is not your business. Because I honestly believe this. I know that the Word of God tells us that we should work. And that a man that neglects his home is worse than a heretic. But brethren, we should be satisfied. What the Lord does with us. What He gives us. A job that He gives us. The because we shouldn't be trying to make place in this world. If we have judged it as a place we're going to be delivered from, we should be engaged in the word and seeking to win those that are still in it for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've not made it all the worth life. We don't hold the Lord's coming up here before. It should be held in my hand and in my feet. Precious souls that need to see it. We'll never go after a soul. So what we've been hearing, the Lord Jesus Christ takes a rightful place in our hearts. And I'll tell you one of the great needs that we have today, and I have, every one of us have, and that is to reverse, instead of using the parable of the Good Samaritan and preaching the gospel, I've used it many times. You know the lesson of that. The one that he had compassion. And listen, what we should have is compassion on the precious soul of those who are going down to hell, who are still under the wrath and curse of God. What do you do about it? You know, I didn't know too much. But you know, on that ship, as I saw those sinners, so what God threw me out of. You know, I lost all interest when I arrived in Africa. All the things that I had built up in my mind, what I was going to do and what I was going to achieve, they all seemed to vanish in the Atlantic Ocean. You know, forgotten in my soul was something. But here I am in the midst of a word. You know, I didn't know too much, but I went to the purser and I got a room. And you know, with fear and trembling, I announced that. And we had about 100 people attend the reunion. This is what the coming of the Lord should mean to us. That in our service for God, we should endeavor to win the lost for our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what is a joy? Speaking to a young man just yesterday, and he spoke about somebody that he had a hand in winning for the Lord Jesus. You know, once you have tasted that, there's nothing ever satisfies. I think I was talking to our brother Sidney the other night, we shared the meeting, and I happened to say that there's nothing like the gospel. And young man or young woman, there's places. There's places all around you where you should be exercised. Not, you know, we could play football. We could do all these things. But thank God when he saved me, those things went away. You want exercise. There's plenty of exercise going from door to door, knocking on doors. You'll get up and down steps and you'll meet all sorts of kinds of people. I got two young men one time who were going into the world and I said, come with me. We went down to 4th Avenue in the city of Anchorage where you find that one man described it as the longest bar in the world. They said, what do you want us down here for? I gave them a handful of tracks. I said, go up that side, and I'll go up this side. And when we came up to the end, you know, those two young men had their head down. And I says, do you see what you're going into? And don't you see the need? Listen, the coming of the Lord Jesus. It'll be too late when he comes. And I would ask you to do that. Evaluate this world in which you live and get more energy into your soul to win precious souls for Christ. We'll be praying for the meetings over in Toronto. But I'll tell you, I've learned this. If the Lord's people don't work, the greatest evangelist upon the earth can't do it. We need to be energetic in the work of the Lord and seeking to win precious souls for Christ. Our time is going and I turn to the 4th chapter. Here we find in the 4th chapter words of encouragement. It says here in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Brethren, isn't that true? That's what we're waiting for. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maya is going to terminate our journey here on earth. It's going to bring to an end the weariness sometimes
in the service of the Lord. Do you know what it's going to do in the meantime? It's going to comfort the hearts of those who are bereaved. Soon we will hear the shout. Do you know what that moment? 1 Corinthians 15. In a moment. I love this. You find the first thing the Lord will deal with is those who have fallen asleep in Christ. Do you realize, young people, older people, that that body that we led away in earth is purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you realize that when wicked hands had taken stones and martyred dear Stephen, that God didn't allow one unsaved hand to touch him? Holy men took his body and buried it. Do you realize the value that God sets upon the body? Do you realize that God sets a value on your body at present? That it has been purchased with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus, 1 Corinthians 6. And that in that body, you're to glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which is God. That body of yours is the inner sanctuary of the Spirit of God, redeemed. Oh, the value of the body. The vehicle in which you and I will serve the Lord Jesus down here, if we do what he tells us. That you and I so enjoying, we've been hearing about the grace of God, so enjoying our salvation. And I'm always thankful, it thrills my soul to hear a man speak well of salvation, the joy of salvation. I've never endured it for a moment. I've enjoyed it since God reached and saved my soul. My dear friend, listen. Because of what God has done, the very least the Spirit of God says you can do is to present your body a living sacrifice, holy unto God, which is your reasonable service. The very least you can do with that body is to yield it to the claims of God. He purchased it. It's his. You can yield it to him for his glorious service amongst his people and to win precious souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder then, while we're waiting, have we weighed up the world and all that it is? While we're waiting, have we this lovely hope and expectation that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, some that we had the joy of leading to the Lord will be home there, that we'll see them, that we'll be with them, that with a great praise. Brethren, there's nothing like it in all this world that God in grace has given and delivered into our hands and trusted us with the gospel of the grace of God to go and speak to precious souls, whether it be thousands, whether it be tens, or whether it be ones, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek then with the God's help to go out into that world, not for amusement, not to kick the ball, and I'm going to be quite frank and honest about it. You're wasting your time. And you have no time to waste. You're going to serve God. You'll need to know God's mind. And you'll need all the time. You've got to find that in private in God's presence. You've no time to waste. Thank God there are souls that need to be saved. And there are hearts that need to be comforted. And you know that's the first ones the Lord's going to take. I heard one time the story, and it was a real comfort to me. There's a dear man whose wife had been led away And he used to go out there to the grave and sit. And someone spoke to him and he gave this answer. He says, well, you know, the Lord may come. And he says, come up first. They're going to be raised first. And then you notice in that moment something else. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the great reuniter. Coming together. Oh, what a glorious expectation. The dead in Christ shall rise first. From every silent graveyard, from every deep, deep sea, that blessed rude awakening to joy and liberty. He's coming, brother and sister. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he always does, he comes orderly. I do not believe that there'll be pilots in a plane and the plane will crash. I don't believe there'll be a person of God, a soul saved by precious blood, that'll be in a car and it'll crash. My God is a God of order. And the poor old unsaved world, I don't know whether they'll have an answer for it or not. But thank God in a moment, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to gather us up. He's going to reunite us. And then he's going to refashion us. And we're going to be like him. Brethren, this is what it does say. And so shall we be ever, forever with the Lord. Eternal duration in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word, encourage our hearts as we wait for the church and the rapture to be forever with the Lord.